Are you ready? I think we've still got another minute, so we'll just give COVID another minute to find our way back. A little bit cooler this morning? We didn't get a weather report, Mark. What's the weather for tomorrow? Today? He dared do it now.
He's going, I'm the same. I haven't checked recently.
Could you arrange for some more sunshine? Because it's just feeling a little bit cooler. One of those debates, I don't know if other, having discovered we've got a lot in common, other couples here also have problems with husbands not listening. I don't know if anyone else has this same issue in home. At home, I turn the heating down 3 degrees whenever I go in. Susie turns it back up again. We finally discovered, after holidaying in a number of different continental countries, Spain is where Susie must originally have come from. She needs an average temperature of about 29 degrees, which you can understand why I keep turning the heating down, you know. I keep reading the government telling you to turn down the thermostat a couple of degrees. I know you don't have it at 29 at home, but, you know, 21 is too hot for me. 18's about right for me. So I must have Scottish blood in me. Sorry, it's going to be sunny today, is it?
Until later on this hour.
Until when? Until about circus skills? Yeah. I thought that might be the case, yeah.
13 degrees.
That's why we're feeling it, isn't it? God. That's winter temperature in Reading. Okay, we're taking risks. Thank you again to Melanie and Mark for linking the worship so beautifully into the theme for each day. Today's book of the day is this one called Fresh. Fresh. We've heard mention of fresh expressions a number of times. This is called An Introduction to Fresh Expressions of Church and Pioneer Ministry. Anyone heard the term pioneer ministry? Ooh, one or two yeses. Good. It's a fairly new term. I think probably the Anglicans again. I don't know where it's come from. 40
years ago.
Oh, 40 years ago. Oh, yeah. Like I said, it's really new. It's really fresh. You do indeed. You have a pioneer minister in the Eastern Synod. Is that the one in Ipswich?
Tindia.
And there's another one in Manchester, I believe. In New York, I think so. Media City. Is that Stuart Radcliffe? Stuart Nixon. Stuart Radcliffe's also up there. Okay. So today's book, Fresh Expressions. Now, hands up if you've not heard of Fresh Expressions. Oh, good, it's fine. Be honest with me. Hands down. Fresh Expressions has been around as an initiative for a bit longer, not 40 years, but it has been around for a bit longer, and I believe was established as a project by the Methodist and Anglicans working together. The URC, as usual, came late to the table. I didn't say that. So it's a joint initiative now of Anglican, Methodist, and URC. And basically, it's fresh ways, new ways of doing church. I'll talk more about that later in the talk. So don't worry, if you have never heard of Fresh Expressions, you have now. And they're popping up all over the country. Okay. So if you'd like to read more, by all means, borrow this book. As long as it comes back to me by Friday, that's fine. I'm going to start with a cartoon today, because you missed out on cartoons yesterday. This is a board meeting. Could be an elders meeting. Could be a church meeting. We've considered every potential risk, except the risks of avoiding all risks. Yes. Strikes me that perhaps the greatest risk facing the church is the unwillingness to take risks, to try something different, to change and adapt. And just to get your minds thinking, when you shared a new idea, what happened to that when you shared at either church meeting or elders meeting? What happened to that idea? Well, here's another cartoon that might explain what happened. Blue sky thinking is this, you know, coming up with the stuff out of the box, new ideas. And then there's a series of six boxes, for those of you that can't read the boxes. The caption is, great blue sky thinking, now sort your ideas and get back to your desks. The first box says, too risky. Second box is, out of scope. Third box is, never will fly. The fourth box is, kill by committee. That's one of our favourites, isn't it? Send it to that box. The fifth box, another good favourite in church, we've tried that before in 1856. And never went then. And then finally, not a snowball's chance. Yeah?
And you have another one,
seventh one.
Wait till we've got a minister.
Yes. Which means you could be waiting 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. That's a great one, isn't it? Yes, we don't want to make any decisions until we get our new minister, because they might not like it. Yeah. Well, tough, isn't it? Yes. We know all of those excuses, don't we? One of our problems, I guess, is that we expect everyone else to go at the same speed as us. If you're a speed merchant and you love travelling at the maximum speed, you might expect everyone else to travel as fast as you. And you'd be right on. Come on, come on, out the way, out the way. And I think there's whatever we prefer. If you're a slow driver, and I am around town, I really have a thing about going at 30 miles an hour along Church Road, which is right by my house, because everybody else does 40. And you can see them coming right out behind you. Yes? I'm in an urban area. There's children all around. Why do people want to drive at 45 miles an hour? Ridiculous. We expect everyone to drive the same speed as us, whether we're on the motorway or in the process of changing and developing our mission at church. Think of the tortoise. You're immediately thinking of tortoise and hare.
No.
But I've got a better one. Yes?
Think of the tortoise who only makes progress by sticking its neck out.
Oh, lovely idea. But I like this cartoon as well. It's a snail. Not exactly the speediest of characters. And the tortoise is shouting, "You maniac!" The truth uncovered by survey after survey is that churches that do not change will decay. Churches that do change grow. That's from yesterday's book, Bob Jackson's book. Churches that do not change will decay. Churches that do grow can change. Again, this was in Bob Jackson's book, written in 2005. And these were some of the things that he came up with that were associated with church growth. And they might give us some food for thought, areas within our own churches that we might get involved in that we're not. I put planting new church, new congregations at the top. They're not in any order of importance. But I thought this is the one where many of us will have no experience at all. Or it was a while ago. I know everyone at Park keeps reminding me that 30 years ago they planted a new congregation in Lower Early. But that was 30 years ago. Any of you, just stick a hand up if you've got experience of planting a new congregation. 1, 2, 3. Excellent. We've got some. 4, 5. It was a while ago. Yeah. It worries me more and more that we have very few ministers with any experience of starting up a new congregation or a new church. And if we've got no one with that experience, there won't be anyone passing on that experience. And if we've got no one passing on the experience, how are we ever going to start new congregations? Other groups, particularly independent churches, have a huge emphasis on planting new congregations. Worship less formal, more relaxed, and better music. Improved provision for children and young people. Maybe that's the rise in messy church, due to this desire to improve provision for children and young people. Improved welcome and integration. So important. We've said it before during the week about the way people are welcomed into the church. But it's more than just welcome, come and be like us. It's more to do with integration. How do they get involved and how do they influence the way we do church. Better small groups and pastoral care. To prevent people leaving by the back door. That's what back refers to, back door. There are some people who come into church, get very involved, and then quietly slip away. And then nobody notices. Regular use of evangelism courses. More lay involvement in leadership. Improved buildings and facilities. I wonder what would happen if the number of people going to church continued to decline in the United Kingdom. Would anyone notice? Would anyone care? I guess we would. But we're still here. But there is a sense in which we seem to be heading towards the end. I mentioned earlier in the week, are we keepers of the aquarium or fishers of people? In other words, are we just looking at those inside or do we look beyond? From the same church leadership course many years ago, I also heard this expression, is the church always one generation from extinction? In other words, if it's not passed on, if the faith is not passed on to the next generation, that becomes the end, doesn't it? Is the church one generation from extinction? So here's today's message, really. The importance of context. We said about the importance of taking risks, of stepping out and doing something new. Now I want to tell you about the importance of knowing your context. Turn again, if you will, to the reading from Acts. Actually, you don't need to turn to Bibles because it's on the screen. Paul says to the Athenians, I can see in every way that you are very religious. As I walked through your city and looked at the places where you worship, I found an altar on which it is written, to an unknown God. I can tell you all about that God, says Paul. And so what he's doing is making connections. He begins with the context. He knows these are a people who love to come together and talk about the latest thing. They love to share ideas, philosophy. And he says, hang on, I can fill you in on what you're missing out on. And I think there's great need at the moment for all those people that are worshipping all sorts of false gods. There's a great need for us to connect with them and say, actually, what you're missing is the best thing. And so Paul uses their interest in spiritual issues. He knows there are godly people, but they need to be pointed in the right direction. He uses that interest to talk about Jesus Christ. And this is our challenge today. How do we make those connections? It's that whole debate about being in the world but not of the world. We need to have sufficient understanding of the context that we're in to make the connections. We can use a common interest to share about the good news. And sometimes just being with other people, allowing them to share what's important to them, allows us to support them. Understanding our context, where we are, who the people are around us. They're not necessarily the same as they were 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I look around Park United Reformed Church and those streets that once held families in those homes, a lot of them now are converted into bedsits, students, around the nearest 3 or 4 streets to our church. Students who are only there for perhaps 9 or 10 months, and then they move to another house or wherever after university. It's a different context for the church. We are in exactly the same place, but the people around us, the community around us, is a different mix of people. So we're going to go back to the report. Remember this one? It's talked about the importance of nurturing all people. That's what we said about yesterday. It's talked about the importance of all people being involved in leadership in the church. It's talked about the importance of taking risks, a willingness to self-reflect, to change and adapt according to the context we're in. A willingness to self-reflect, to change and adapt according to the context. And to get your little minds thinking about what that might mean, I'm going to show you a clip from the Fresh Expressions website. This is a very specific context. Unless you are near a surfing beach, this is not going to be suitable for your church. I deliberately chose one that wouldn't be suitable for anyone else's church. So don't be too worried about what they've actually achieved. But think about, this is a relevance to a particular context. Okay? So let's watch and enjoy. It's called Tube Station. And there should be some sound. Hang on, I'll start again. That's my sound.
Former Methodist chapel in Polzeath. You can pray, sing, and if you feel so inclined, practice your skateboarding. Tube Station is a surf church and a community and arts centre. It's run by friends Chris Lannan and Henry Cavender from Christian Surfers UK, and its aim is to serve the local community and convey the gospel in a thoroughly modern way.
This is a 1930s Methodist church, and it was on the brink, basically. And the vision for it, before we even got here, was a real nugget of a vision. Let's take this place and use it to connect with the culture around here, to actually create a place where people can come together, can interact, lots of different age groups, lots of different types of people, all coming together, which is what community is all about.
The congregation is made up of local people, the surfers, and holiday makers who visit Polzeath. How do you get people across the threshold?
Lots of people feel like they have to take a deep breath when they go into anywhere religious, don't they? And what we just try to do is take down all the barriers. If a church is a barrier between people and God, then you need to take it out of the way, because what this is all about is making people see God. You know, that's it.
The thing we just love about this place is the fact that the guys, the original sort of people that were here in this church, are still here, and they're still very much a part of what we're doing. And we really, you know, this wouldn't be happening if it wasn't for them. The fact that I'm a surfer, I understand culture, I understand the language that those guys speak, and that's so important when you're trying to communicate, isn't it, that you speak in the language that people understand, and that's very much what the heart and soul of Tube Station is.
Being able to use the gifts and skills that we have, and also pool them with the other people that have come alongside us as well, enables us to communicate this amazing heart that God has for his people in a way that perhaps they haven't seen before.
At this former Methodist chapel in Polzeath, you can pray, sing, and if you feel so inclined...
That's back to the beginning. It's because I have the music on loop. I need to play that. Okay, putting the lights back on. Sorry, John. Giving you some exercise. Fred, sorry. Oh, wow. Fred, you up. Can you just talk to the person next to you? Say how you respond to that clip. Maybe the first time you've seen it, maybe the 20th time you've seen it. What do you think about that church? What was your impression? Discussion. Melanie's ready to run around. Give us some feedback. What were your impressions? Things that came to mind apart from we couldn't possibly do that in our church. What came to mind?
Well, including the surfing, I think there was more of a glorified youth club for a good swimmer. Well, that'd be good fun. It would be better, I think, if they also had something more general, such as chess, bridge, bingo, and wish drives.
If that's what the context requires, then that's what should be on offer, yeah? Think about the context. Janice.
I just feel that the people who actually find that church when they're on holiday will go home with fresh ideas about what Christianity is all about.
Yes, I hope so. I hope so. I did wonder, because this was, I think, filmed in 2011 or something? 2009? I did wonder if the church was still going, because a lot of these projects you start up and you think, well, I wonder if that's going to survive. Apparently, Andrew spoke to someone, that's my son, spoke to someone on Monday who goes to Tuesday's church, and he says they still have regular congregation of 30, even during the winter. But in the summer, the place is crammed. You cannot get in there, it's so busy. So that's really encouraging to hear that something that started as a huge risk is actually still, now it's still in its early days, isn't it? It's less than 10 years old. You will be in churches, you know, like mine, built in 1907. You'll be in churches that have been there for hundreds of years. Some of you, sort of since 1662.
1668,
yes. This church is a very new church, it's in its early stages, but it has managed to adapt to the current context. Wendy?
I think it's a question of learning what the context is.
Yes.
And, you know, what's going on in the local community, because clearly there are people who are attracted to what's going on in the church, in our case, but there are an awful lot who are not. Yes. And somehow we're not understanding the culture that is theirs, and we're not getting them in.
Thank you. Thank you. That's a very important point.
Definitely comes across as much more accessible, and I think it's probably much less intimidating, because I think some churches get a lot of people, same people week in, week out, and church services can be very, very structured in their prayers, hymns. I mean, this comes across as a bit more accessible and laid back and open-minded, if that's the right word.
It could well be. And of course, what works for one person won't work for another person. As Gwen said, if you're not a surfer, you probably feel this actually isn't going to relate to me much.
So one thing I've always been very conscious of is that when a new idea comes to a meeting, there will be muted enthusiasm. If one person says, I will do it, people are more than willing to join in. All you need is one person to lead something. And it will take on.
Yes, I've heard that before. One person with a passion is worth far more, isn't it? One person with a passion who will then gather others around them. It shouldn't be left to one person, but you do need that sense of this is something we want to do together and we're willing to do. Yes, Brenda.
I'm just amazed at that congregation.
Yes.
They were on the edge, and that's often when we are willing to be more flexible. But I guess those couple of lads must really have inspired them, that they could catch the same vision and see the opportunities.
Wasn't that wonderful that they were able to engage and they said, the people that were here before are still here now. That must have been in itself a huge ministry and a challenge, both to the existing congregation and to those guys setting it up in the first place.
And the other thing, I mean, just coming out of, is it still going strong, which it is, perhaps in our changing world, we have to be prepared to create church for 10 years and then change.
Absolutely.
Because the context will have changed.
Yes.
Which is a completely different way.
It's a completely different way for us to think about church, isn't it? I said earlier, the picture of the caterpillar. Do you remember the picture of the caterpillar? What is the life cycle of a church? You know, maybe we're in a completely different time now where there will be projects that run for 10, 20 years and then close. But there's nothing wrong with that, because God has used it for that period. And if we had a different mindset that said, whatever we do now might not fit here in 400 years' time, I think that might give us that freedom. And certainly we know of churches that are no longer there, So they didn't run for 400 years. Or they ran for 400 years and then they stopped. So maybe it's time to now have a different kind of time frame. Thank you.
It would have been interesting in the video to actually see an act of worship happening.
Yes.
Because if we had seen an act of worship, I didn't notice.
No, indeed. And I wonder how different. Often when people have said to me, oh, come along, we've got this fresh expressions, cafe-style worship. And I go along and we sing the same choruses and we pray in the same way. Because actually, that's how we... So sometimes a fresh expression isn't as fresh as it might first appear. Or as weird and wonderful. You know, sometimes they are weird and wonderful. Other times, it's very much what you and I are very familiar with. Any other reflections or responses to... No right and wrong answers.
I think we have to get away, perhaps from thinking of Sunday as the end of the day.
Yes.
And to worship possibly at times when people are on the premises. I know a church that has a youth club that meets on a Thursday night, and they will very often use that Thursday night slot.
Yes.
So to do something that's relevant to children and something that's relevant to the other congregation. So I think we need to change our mindset. As God doesn't say in the Bible, you must worship at 11 o'clock on a Sunday.
Absolutely. And that's a very important thing to do with context as well. You know, if the context is that people aren't available Sunday mornings in the same way, we're going to have to change if we want something that caters for that.
Just thinking about the very word, expressions. In church, we use expressions that new people would not understand.
Yes.
So we either need to change certain expressions, but certainly teach new people what our expressions mean.
Yes, absolutely. The language is very specific at times, isn't it? Words that we take for granted. Even words like fellowship. You know, like the time of fellowship, I've heard in churches. I've used it, probably. But for people outside the church, what does that mean? You don't go down to the pub and have a time of fellowship. Not usually. Well, but you are having a time of fellowship, but you don't call it that. So it's that whole thing about the language you use inside the church and the language that's used outside the church. Over time, we all pick up the language of whatever group we're with, whatever is familiar. Reaching every generation. It's a challenge. The question is, how might we begin to address the needs of every generation? Okay, you've seen the Weird and Wonderful at Tube Station, and as far as I know, it's the only one of its kind. I don't think they've set up a chain or anything. I think it's very much a unique project. I want you now to think about your own church, and just again, talk to one or two others. What risks have you taken in the last 5 or 10 years? And linked to that, can you think of anything that you've tried and then stopped? Because I don't think we're so good at that. We're not so good at saying, it's done its course, it's time to stop. So if you can think of examples, that'd be brilliant. So talk together. What risks have you taken in the last 5 to 10 years? Don't go back any further, just the last 5 to 10. And how many things have you tried and then stopped? Off you go, 2 minutes. Okay, I'm going to ask Melanie to get ready to run again. It'd be great to hear a number of different contributions, so let's see if we can have some different people offering some things. Just one thing to start with. One risk that you've taken in the last 5 to 10 years, and then if you can give an example of anything you've tried and then stopped. Hands up. Don't be shy.
We've actually taken about 3 or 4 or 5 or 6.
Yes, I know, that's why I asked you for one example. Of course, we're here all afternoon.
And the biggest risk, having had 5 years without a paid minister,
yes,
we were suddenly taken outside the church. Outside the church. That's, we have tried to become a church visible in the community with living nativity and various other things. But inside the church, we are layered.
Layered.
We have different communities.
Yes.
All the way through. And the main job is to keep them together.
Okay, thank you. So that risk of going outside the four walls and engaging with the community?
I'm speaking now of David's Church, the Anglican Church in Hadley, not the URC Church. Very large church, lots and lots of room in it. The youth club in the town was closed, and as a result there was a great gathering of young people in the porch, making a great deal of mess, leaving all sorts of stuff behind, very undesirable, quite intimidating to people coming into the church. A new incumbent came to the church, opened the doors and invited the youngsters in. They'd been given hot food, hot drinks and opportunities to entertain one another. There are now some 300 young people who come to the church regularly on Tuesdays and Friday nights. Some come on a Sunday night as inquirers, wanting to know more about the faith, and as a handful of young people have been baptised. It's ongoing. In a historic tower, which is part of the deanery where the incumbent lives, on the second floor there is now a suite of brand new Mac computers which youngsters can use for their homework if they haven't got a decent environment at home to work in. And apparently there are a great many in our town who have not got an environment that's suitable.
Yes.
So I think, you know, some of these families are being touched by the church. Sadly, not the URC church. Although we have our own young people and a good range right the way through, all ages, but that's an Anglican initiative which our church is taking part in.
Brilliant. Yeah, good to hear that ecumenical aspect. That issue of youth provision being slashed right across the country, you know, as councils have had to review their budgets, the loss of youth provision is quite significant over the whole country. There isn't a part of the country that hasn't been affected.
St Martin's, the church I go to in Birmingham, there used to be a cafe which was rented by the church but owned independently.
Yes.
They went bankrupt, they closed down. But this new vicar we've got now is renovated it, joined up, got a new menu, and it's firing at the moment. It's beginning to wind again now.
Right.
At the moment, it's going strong.
But a cafe could be one of those things that has a lifespan and then needs to be given a rest and then restarted. Could be one of the ways, yes. Thank you. That's an example of something that has stopped and then something different. Any other risks that people have taken?
One started and stopped Sunday afternoon because people thought it wasn't possible to get families together in the morning. We'll start an act of worship on the Sunday afternoon. The belly flop is the understatement. We ran it for 6 months and it's been closed because it obviously didn't scratch when people itched. Much is said about the youth. We had a big problem in Malden before I retired of people acquiring invalid scooters and saying there was nothing for them, nothing that they could do that was fun. And so we invented Top Gear meets the Horse of the Year show.
With electric scooters?
Well, with mobility scooters. And we set up an obstacle course. And the church warden tried to get permission from the insurance company to stage this event. And he was told, the risk is too great. So I rang the chief executive, who said, what a wonderful idea, can we send a photographer? And we had these elderly folks on their mobility scooters, 19 of them, going around an obstacle course one way, back the other way, and the three fastest ones rode off against the clock.
I don't know about you, but it's conjuring up some wonderful images, isn't it?
And if, and if you had seen this 86-year-old punching the air when she found she had won, fun had come back. And seriously, the contacts made, the people who stopped to watch, was absolutely incalculable. You could never have thought of that, but it was taking an enormous great risk.
Yes.
But they met each other than get out of my way on the high street.
Yes, brilliant, thank you. I could give you several examples from Reading. Let's hear another one from the front first.
This is actually not my own particular church, but it's the Crossing at Worksop, which is one that we use often. They, within the last 5 years, they've got a team of street pastors, and they patrol Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night, I think. And that's outreach. The people do appreciate being seen safely home. They've got an award from the police in Worksop because it's reduced crime and their particular job. And a letter of appreciation from the hospital because they're far less busy on the nights they patrol.
Yes.
So that's outreach. And
brilliant.
It's risky.
Yes, yes. And it's setting it up. It was a pastor in South London who set up street pastors, and it's now right across the country. Hands up if you've got one in your town that you know of. Or near you, yes. Yeah. Almost all of us have heard of street pastors. Fantastic service to the community. Yes. I was going to say, yes, we've got several examples. At Park, we decided we would aim at 18 to 30s in our evening worship. So we changed the pattern of our evening worship. It only meets during university term time. So it only meets together for 30 weeks of the year. And we always have that led by a band. We've tried to involve different people in leading worship, in leading the prayers, in leading the input and so on. And that has been something very new in the last, I don't know, I lose track, 4 years? Yeah, time flies. So that was something that we started up new. Something we've stopped is not entirely our choice, but we had a residential complex near us, sheltered accommodation, where we used to run a once-a-month service. They've closed it, so we've stopped. It made sense to stop, really, as there was never been. But what we're in the process of doing is saying, well, within our context, we still have contact with a number of older folk who might not be able to come to church. Can we go to them? Is there another residential complex where we might offer a service once a month? Or is there time during the week? You mentioned about worship during the week. Would that be more appropriate? So we're in the process now of establishing what the need is and where we go next. I'd like to quote from this book, which I mentioned earlier in the week, Church for Every Context, an introduction to theology and practice by Michael Moynihan. It's the conclusion of, I'll just try to look at this chapter, chapter 8. If the church is to serve people as community in mission, it must connect with them. If it is to connect with them, it must be contextual. Just as individuals adapt to each other in conversation, each church must adapt to its culture. Just as God showed himself through culture, the church must enter its context to reveal God. Just as Jesus modeled the kingdom by taking flesh in a culture, each church begins to enflesh the kingdom within its context. But it's not all about repeating what everyone else is doing. This means that reproducing the church is not about multiplying churches that all look the same. Nor is it about copying church models that have been successful elsewhere. Multiplication is not about replication. It's about non-identical reproduction. It's about producing offspring that have their own unique characteristics while retaining a family likeness through loyalty to Jesus Christ. One church with many shapes. One church with many shapes. It all involves stepping out in faith. You remember the Indiana Jones clip I'm sure many of us have used that in schools work and so on. It all involves being willing to fall on our face sometimes. I'm going to show you another one of the polar bear clips, because I know how much you enjoyed that. This one is called The Fall. And Shane's dad, you can imagine. Well, let's see. But there is sound on this one, Fred. Gary's fall.
Here, Dad, have you always been this bad at football, or is it just your eyes?
Take the kick, Shane.
Oh, I suppose it just goes to show the talent and hereditary, eh?
Right, you look a sod.
Shane, you'll be careful playing around that pool. The keeper's drained it this morning.
I think I'm all right. My body and limbs broke my fall.
Dad, your arms!
Oh, Gary, they don't look right. Do they hurt?
I can't feel them at all, actually.
Can you still catch?
Yeah, of course. I'll get it. It's all right.
Dad, are you raving?
No, I'm not.
You want to ask him?
Hey, Gary, how big was that fish you had the other day?
Would you stop asking me that? It's not funny.
Hey, Dad, how far away were you from saving that goal?
Just you wait till I get these casts off.
Oh, Gary, are they teasing you again?
Yeah.
How much would you say they're teasing you?
Oh, yes. My suffering is very amusing, isn't it?
I'm sorry, love. Come here and have a hug.
I don't want a hug.
Oh, you say that, but look at your body language.
Shane, I'm warning you, I'm feeling strong and I'm feeling rested, so prepare yourself for a serious thrashing.
Talk is cheap, my brown armed friend. Let's get it on.
Right.
Oh, that was a foul!
Da 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 da. Hey, one.
Incredibly, he falls for the nutmeg
again. I've talked to Shane, I'm not even playing.
And again, oh, sorry.
I thought you might appreciate that. Oh, what is it? Look, it's time for coffee.